Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. A recent investigation by the Charlotte Observer uncovered some worrisome numbers about gun crime prosecutions in North Carolina's largest metro area. From 2014 to 2018, Mecklenburg prosecutors dismissed a full 68% of weapons charges, a higher rate than any other urban county in the state. The dismissal rates in other urban counties range from 28% in Forsyth County to 58% in Durham. In Wake County, the dismissal rate for weapons crimes was 45%. The investigation also found that suspects who get away with crimes often move on to worse offenses, including murder. It's happening as Charlotte homicides this year are on pace to reach near record levels. Investigative reporter Gavin Off, one of the authors of the report, joined me by phone earlier this week to discuss some of the key findings. Well, Gavin Off, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So you've got a new series of reports that the Charlotte Observer has recently run that you co-authored with Ames Alexander and David Rayner. Mm-hmm. It's entitled Dismissed. It's about prosecutors dropping a remarkable number of gun charges in Mecklenburg County. Can you tell us sort of where it came from and some of the basic findings?
Yeah, sure. Back in early 2018, Ames Alexander and I, and Ames is an investigative reporter at The Observer, wanted to take a closer look at who was committing the murders in Charlotte. The year before, in 2017, we had 87 homicides here, and that was the most since the mid-1990s.
The homicide rate in Charlotte is sort of off the charts compared to a lot of major cities, right?
Yeah, well, it's three times the rate of New York City, and I know New York City has gotten a lot safer mm-hmm. over the years, but when you put that into perspective, that does say how violent the city has gotten. And honestly, this year, I think we're at 83 homicides this year, so we're almost going to surpass the 87 back in 2017. So what we did is we requested a database from the North Carolina Administrative Office of the Courts. And this database is contained around 20 to 25 million records of every criminal court case from 2014 through 2018. And David Rayner, who is the data reporter at the NNO, and myself, started to analyze this data. And we extracted all weapons crimes, and that could be, you know, discharging a firearm into an occupied property, it could be armed robbery, or it could be murder. You know, there are around 60 different charges that we looked at. And we started running some queries and looking at the dismissal rates for each county. And the one thing that jumped out for us was prosecutors in Mecklenburg County were dismissing around 68% of weapons charges, which was by far the most of any urban county in the state.
It's a remarkable number. You found some counties that were, I believe Durham maybe was above 50, but some were as low as in the 20s.
Durham was at 58. I think that was the mm-hmm. second as far as urban counties. Mm-hmm. And Cabarrus County, which is just across the line from Mecklenburg, was down there, I think, at 23, if my memory serves me. So there was a wide variation about, you know, if you commit a crime, a weapons crime in one county, are you more likely to get off than if you do it in another county?
Yeah, the story actually begins with talking about one individual who had 13 consecutive weapons mm-hmm. charges dismissed against him from 2007 to 2014.
Yeah, that was Mario McGill, and he ended up killing someone, and he's serving time in state prison now. But we saw that time and again where some people, in fact, it was 126 people from 2014 through 2018 in Mecklenburg had at least a dozen weapons charges. And this could, you know, you could be a dozen weapons charges all in the same incident, or they could be spread out over time. But when you compare that to Mecklenburg, compare that to Wake, I think Wake only had 23 people. So again, Mecklenburg was the outlier.
So what the heck's going on? What do we think is the explanation for this?
Good question. When we talk to the DA here, they're adamant that they can only prosecute cases where they have evidence for. So if witnesses don't show up, or if witnesses change their stories, or if they lie, or if victims don't show up, or if they don't have the physical evidence, they're forced to dismiss the case. Mm-hmm. You know, by law, they can't go forward, and that makes sense.
Sure.
But we also hear from former prosecutors that the court system in North Carolina, not only Mecklenburg, but North Carolina, is so underfunded that they almost have to treat cases like you would at an emergency hospital or emergency room, where you sort of have to do triage. The cases that are rise to the top are the ones that you know you can prove, you know you can get a conviction, and all the other cases, the thousands and thousands of them, you either have to try to get a plea bargain, or again, if you don't have the evidence, or if you don't think you can win, you dismiss it.
In fact, you showed, I think, in the series, the fact that the personnel, the staffing in North Carolina, in particular in Mecklenburg County, is much lower in the court system, in the justice system, than you might see in other jurisdictions around the country, right?
Yeah, we surveyed, and I think it was between 15 and 20 other counties throughout the nation with a similar size population as Mecklenburg and Wake. And all but one of them had more prosecutors than we did. I think we have 86 or 87 prosecutors in Mecklenburg County, and we should have around 120, certainly understaffed.
Let me see if I can connect the dots here. Because we don't have enough prosecutors, enough justice system staff, the cases just get delayed. They sit around for a long time, and by the time we get around to them, the witnesses have sort of like departed or lost their enthusiasm for the case. Is that sort of the scenario?
That's part of it, and that's what some former prosecutors tell us. They made the analogy that criminal cases for prosecutors aren't like wine. They don't get better over time. You know, memories fade, witnesses go missing. A lot of times works in the advantage of the defense. And the defense might even think that, okay, let's just wait these guys out. Let's keep trying to get the case postponed until it ultimately gets dismissed. What our prosecutors here also say is if they had more prosecutors, if they had more staffing, more investigators, then they could do what like Milwaukee, Wisconsin does, and that is have community prosecutors. And you would think of these as like you would a beat cop. And these are prosecutors that work the streets, so they get to know a community, particularly a community that struggles with crime. So that way, if someone in that area is a victim of crime or is a witness to a crime, they'll have a relationship with the prosecutor's office, so they're more comfortable talking, more comfortable cooperating with authorities, and that would allow the charge to go forward rather than being dismissed.
Another phenomenon you describe, and we sort of alluded to it earlier, is this problem that people who are initially arrested for gun offenses and then perhaps have it dismissed, ultimately there seems to be a path where many of them find their way to committing more serious crimes. That these individuals, are they just emboldened by the fact that they're repeatedly let go?
Yeah. We talked to a number of national weapons crimes experts who said just that, that if there are no consequences to picking up a gun, i.e. the case getting dismissed, then they're just going to keep picking up a gun. In fact, we exchanged letters and ultimately talked to a few inmates, the state inmates, on the phone, and they were busted in Mecklenburg County for having a weapon. But they told us that I grew up watching my friends have weapons charges dismissed repeatedly. I thought mine were just going to go away. Both the gentleman who we mentioned in the paper, they had a number of charges dismissed, but they're ultimately convicted and are serving time.
There's no evidence that this is a factor or a function of the just prosecutors being soft on crime in Mecklenburg, is there?
We've not seen that, no.
Yeah.
We've not heard that. And in fact, I can tell by talking to the DA that dismissing the case or dismissing cases is tough on them.
Yeah,
you can see that. They may think that a person is guilty, but they need the evidence. And to not be able to go forward because you don't have evidence, I can tell it pulls at them.
Our time is limited, but I do want to ask one last question, which is about the gun laws themselves in North Carolina. Is there any evidence that our gun laws make it easy? We have easier access to guns in our state? Or is there any notion that perhaps tougher gun laws might somehow address this problem?
Yeah, we did include a small part in the series where I think we surveyed nine other southern states, I believe it was, and I think seven of them had tougher sentencing laws, particularly for armed robbery. If you are convicted of armed robbery in North Carolina, it's, I believe, a minimum of 3 years and 2 months. Well, several of these southeastern states had 7 years minimum and even up to 10 years minimum. We used a little anecdote in the story about York County, South Carolina, which is just across the state line. And many years ago, when they had a bunch of crime that they think was coming over from Mecklenburg, the county put up a billboard on Interstate 77, and it had a bunch of mugshots of people who were busted for weapons crimes and are serving time. And it said, "Don't cross the line," because it was a deterrent for if you get busted in South Carolina, you're going to do the time. And that may not be the case in North Carolina.
Well, we certainly hope that your investigation spurs a response from policymakers and lawmakers to look at these issues of how we fund our justice system and how we punish people for their criminal offenses. And congratulate you on the series. Urge people to check it out. Still available online at charlotteobserver.com.
Yep, yeah, charlotteobserver.com/dismissed.
Gavin, thank you so much for your fine work, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.